I think I've missed out on opportunities by being closed-minded. And I think another thing, especially when the pandemic happened.
What's up, everybody? Armand here, back with another episode. Today's guest, we have Tiara Drake. She's the founder of Girls on Another Level. It's a company empowering women to become catalysts for success. And she's really mission-driven, which is really awesome to see. She has a podcast as well. So Tiara and I talk about podcasting and giving some tips on how to be better. We talk about what she does when she gets really stressed out and how to, recharge your battery and get your energy back. We also talk about, this was a good conversation on setting boundaries and what to do with people who keep testing those boundaries. And then we also talk about how she defines spirituality and her own journey, to which something she had to come up with on her own, rather than having someone choose religion or spirituality for her. That was a really interesting part. And then we talk about bowling. She's really into bowling. That's her hobby. And yeah, it was tons of fun to have her on. I hope you enjoy this episode of the Play Hard Podcast.
Work hard, play hard, work hard.
Different questions.
Play
Like, you seem like you really
work
got
hard,
on top of
play
like your
hard,
hobbies and what you
work
do for
hard,
fun.
Play hard,
and I'm excited to talk about your self-care day.
Yes, I'm excited. Thank you for allowing me to be on your platform. I'm excited.
Oh, of course. So this is Tiara Drake. She's the founder of Girls on Another Level. So your goal with this company is to aim and empower women who are catalysts for success. What kind of sparked the idea for this?
Yeah, so I've always had a passion for the arts, the creative field. I went to school for mass media with a minor in communications, but it's weird because I like to say now I'm an introverted extrovert, but I really like to keep to myself. And I'm like, how can you be someone in media in the creative field and you don't really even talk that much? But it was really just about finding my niche. And so with me in college, trying to figure out what route I wanted to go, I wanted to be a cardiologist. I don't even like
That's
blood.
very
So
different.
it's like, what are you doing here? But that really sparked, my passion for trying to figure out what I want to do in my life. And I feel like the only way you can really figure things out is one to just take that step out to, experience things and kind of learn what you like and what you don't like, but also hearing from other people. You can kind of weed out a lot of the wrongs or the mistakes that they've made, and trying to figure out your own little journey. So I was like, okay, I'm in school for media, and I really want to be able to get out of my comfort zone, but also learn from people. And so the idea just kind of sparked from there. I launched it in 2019. Back then, podcasts were kind of getting on the rise and really, becoming noticeable. So I was like, this would be a good, platform, to really kind of get started in. So.
So how, first of all, how consistent have you been with your podcast?
So up until recently, I was pretty consistent. I try to launch like 10, usually 8 to 10 episodes, like in the beginning months of the like first and second quarter, and then kind of come back like towards the end of the year, the third and fourth quarter with about 10 more episodes. And so I have 7 seasons so
Nice.
far. So I like
Seven
to
seasons,
say
man.
I'm pretty consistent. My routine, I try to get all the episodes recorded before dropping a new season. That way it gives me time to edit. I can send out invitations to people who I want to have on my show. So I like to say I'm consistent up
Yeah.
until recently.
I've noticed like this. I post them out weekly, and I don't do the batches. Well, in a way, but I sometimes there have been times where I record same week and like didn't have any extra, so like I had to do it was a rush. But at the same time, I've noticed I didn't get any kind of feedback or even like people really mentioning consistency or anything after a full year. Like it took that long for people to be like, oh, this guy's been doing it. Like, oh, he's on 52 episodes now. So it's like pretty crazy how you could be doing this thing and it feels like you're banging your head against a wall sometimes, but Yeah, how do you like the batching it up and editing? Because I imagine it's not something I've done, but I imagine it's like you're in different kind of phases in your head. Like you're in this recording phase, and then you're like in the editing phase, and then you're posting them and marketing them. Like how exactly does it work when you do it like that?
Yeah, so I've kind of put together, like, I have a wall calendar. I also have a planner. And so I like to choose days where once I know someone's, like, booked, we're going to have a show. I've done all of the recording for that. I usually try to air my show on Fridays. So starting off Monday, it's like, okay, let me remember who I had this interview with, who's going to be next. Downloading and editing the podcast, one. Then it goes into me trying to, because I start off my episodes with like a quote or sometimes a scripture. So it's like, that's when I like to make it personable. Yeah. So kind of sharing my personal touch or kind of what I'm going through. So I'm like, how was last week for me? Let me find a scripture. Let me find a quote that's really gonna like tailor to that. I have like a mason jar full of quotes and I'll just like kind of pull them out. So it's kind of that day, which would be like Tuesday, kind of figuring out how I'm gonna open the show. And then I like to do this weird thing where my podcast episodes aren't named by the career that I'm talking about that episode. It's just kind of something that was mentioned in the interview. And so I like to find like a funny clip to just kind of say like, nice. Hey, well, guess what career we're going to be talking about? And it'll show the clip. So that's me on YouTube kind of getting distracted because I'm looking at so many clips to make sure that it relates. And then Wednesdays are my days to, all right, let's create the content. So I'm on Canva, Adobe Premiere, just trying to like get snippets of the episode. Yeah. And then Thursdays, it's like, all right, let me put the little teaser, see, you know, if people are going to be interested in this. Sometimes I do polls, but it's usually just the first snippet. And I just kind of space it out. I feel like with podcasts, like I don't want to ever just put one clip of that particular episode. So it's like Friday, you're getting one snippet. Saturday, you're getting another snippet. And then I like to do on Sundays, kind of like a special guest feature. So like their bio and all that stuff like that. So it's like, you remember this person. Because I feel like all of our journeys are unique and different. So I'm like, I want you to remember this person. So that's kind of how my week goes with batching the content and getting it out there.
On to like the bios and who you have on. What kind of guests do you have on your shows and like what kind of conversations come out of that?
Yeah, so specifically I interview women in different career fields. So we're talking about the journey, how you started, kind of what inspired you, any obstacles you may have had in getting to that desired career. So I like to go for almost any career that you can think of. I think now we're in this world where it's entrepreneurship, but we still have people that love to climb up the corporate ladder. So I've spoken to news anchors, lawyers. I've spoken to people who have like six-figure businesses and like hair industry. I've interviewed actresses, a filmmaker. So just various careers. Yeah. But I like to, I specifically choose people who are not afraid to share their journey. I think it's important to know, like, when you kind of hit a roadblock or, you know, maybe you didn't think this was going to be your career and life happened and now you're doing this and it's great. You love it. So I like to go for people who are honest and transparent about their journey because you got to hear the bad. It's everything is just, you know.
That just makes for good podcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. It's like when you're trying to have an open and candid conversation, it can be difficult when people aren't willing to open up. But also it's like my theory, I guess, is it's part of the host's job to like create an environment where they feel comfortable opening up and sharing.
Yes, I always tell my guests every time before we actually start, I'm like, hey, you know, this is a safe space. Like, I want you to be as honest as you want to be. And then I always tell them, like, if you need us to stop, you need to get it, you know.
That's a good one.
Let me know. Like, it's okay. You don't have to, it doesn't have to be perfect. Our stories aren't perfect. So it's like, just be you and just tell your story. So definitely.
Yeah, no, I like that. One thing I think that would really be helpful is just like letting them know, hey, if something you're not comfortable putting out, we can take it out of the episode or like edit it. Like, I'm always okay doing that for guests, but I never really think about telling them or saying anything like that. But yeah, I'm curious how that would. Yeah, just so you know, if you go wild, if you go off the rails, we can cut stuff off. But okay, you mentioned you have a mason jar of quotes and you really like quotes. I myself really like them. Do you have a favorite quote or anything off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, you put me on the spot. Honestly, for me, and it's going to sound like, oh, this is just too simple. But right now, for the top of my head, I can say consistency is key. Now, I don't know who quoted that because I feel like everybody says that.
That's a good quote. And that's the point of your favorite. It's probably like, sometimes I'm like, it's, I don't even know if this is my favorite, but if it comes to the top of my head, it's the one I needed right now.
You know what? Actually, I'm going to scratch that. That is a good one. I would say that's my number two. I think my top quote, and it comes from this book, Atomic Habits by James Clear.
I love that book.
And it's about 1% each day. Just get 1% better each day. I think that's going to be my top quote because it goes in every aspect of your life. So that's the quote.
So Tiara, what are the things you do to get 1% better every day?
So for me, I try to stay consistent as possible. Of course, you know, you see those videos on social media and everybody's like, this is my 6 a.m. routine. I'm not always like that, but I try to be. But I think, but that's the thing, being self-aware about it. So you're able to say like, okay, today I didn't get up at 6 a.m. I didn't do what I usually want to do. So now I know tomorrow I'm not doing this. So I think that's a really good way of looking at it. But I like to journal. I like to take notes. I like sticky notes. I have star-shaped sticky notes in like various colors. So for me, I like to write things down. That's how I keep order. For me, I'll post it anywhere. I have reminders on my phone, the same things that's written on the sticky notes. But for me, I have to see things multiple times in order for me to like really buckle down and have the discipline to do it. Because you can be motivated about stuff, but if you don't have the discipline, like
that's true. And also, like, the thing I like, a quote I like is, I wouldn't say this is my favorite, but it's like, let me see if I remember. Motivation is a lot like showering, where you have to do it every day.
Ooh.
And it's just like a good reminder of like, it doesn't stick. Like, you're not going to be motivated every day. So like, it helps to do little things to motivate yourself. But I think, in my opinion, even bigger picture of that quote is kind of just like a, don't feel pressure like you have to be motivated every day. Like, it's just not something that's going to happen by itself. You have to either take the actions to do it or, you know, put discipline ahead of motivation and just keep going about what you're supposed to, like, what things you're supposed to be doing or you set out to do.
Yes. No, I love that quote. I love that. And I'm going to mention that. So I'm
I'll find the real one somewhere. But yeah, I that one really stuck out. All right. So, when you're running, this is something. So originally when I set out to do this show, I wanted to talk to people about, kind of how they deal with burnout and stress management. And it's kind of gone. I haven't really done that in a while, but I'm really curious. I do want to get back to like the healthiness of entrepreneurs. And I know it's a very stressful job. So like, what are some of the things that you do to manage stress?
So I think for me, I am big on putting the pen down, putting whatever down when you don't feel motivated, if you don't feel your best. I actually had a situation last year where, I was just kind of like getting to it and I was just not getting sleep. barely eating because I wanted things done perfectly. And then with my full-time job, like, it was just a lot. And I had a bit of a health scare twice. So that really allowed me to, like, sit down. So whenever I don't feel up to something, you can't create your work, your best work when you're overwhelmed and tired. So I will take a nap. I will say I'm not doing this right now. You know, I'll go outside. I'll take a walk. Anything to, like, just get myself back centered and focused. That's something that I've really, like, emphasized and stressed over this past year. So that would be it for me.
Yeah, no, that's pretty sweet. I think that's really important because a lot of times we feel pressure to just finish things, like do things, especially if you're working for someone, you feel like you have to do it at the, like, immediately right now. But a lot of times it's like you're not going to do your best job if you do it right then and there. Like, sometimes it is nice to take a break, just take a walk. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do is I'll just take like a 10-minute walk during the day, like around my neighborhood, and that's what I've noticed. Oftentimes that's all I need to get back going.
I love that.
Yeah, so, and then your thing is take a nap. I saw you have this this fake nap that you take, play sleep, where you, like, pretend to nap but you don't really. What's that about?
Yeah, so because I'm not, like, the typical, like, napper, and I'm trying to get into that, like, I will lay in my bed or lay on the couch just up. I'll try to, like, count backwards from 100 or just have, like, complete silence. And sometimes it just doesn't work. So I think for me, just being able to, like, not look at my phone, even though I'm up, but, you know, not doing anything, not having my mind focused on something. So, like, that's the fake sleep that I have. And after a while, I'm like, okay, I'm good to go. Like, let's get back to it. So that's the fake sleep.
Almost like meditating.
Yes, I actually started that recently, like 2 weeks ago. And that is what gets me into a nap. That is.
I agree. Because, like, for me, I used to be a big 20-minute napper. But then I realized, like, 15 of those minutes was just me trying to sleep. Like, most of the times I wasn't actually. And then I'd get, like, a 5-minute nap in. So I just started, like, I don't know, breathing. Like, just trying to count my breath.
Yeah, see, really, you understand.
Helped. Yeah. Because anything longer than 20 minutes for me, I'm just going to be knocked out. Like, exhausted. I won't be able to get back in it. Yeah, totally agree. What kind of, so you looking inward as a person, what would you say are some character traits that have been important to your current success?
I would definitely say being optimistic, and open-minded. We talked about a little bit earlier how I have a list of restaurants that I would like to go to, but I haven't gone to them because I like to stick in my comfort zone. And I think I've missed out on opportunities by being closed-minded. And I think another thing, especially when the pandemic happened, I used to do my podcast interviews actually in person. And so when COVID hit, I was like, well, what am I going to do? Like, I want to be able to see these people in person. And I spent a couple of months without doing any interviews because I just did not want to go the digital route. And so I think me being optimistic about things and, you know, learning how to pivot allowed me to interview some great people in different places. So I would say that has contributed to what I would say is my success now. And just not giving up, being consistent, really, because there are plenty of days where I'm like, why am I doing this? You know?
Oh, I feel you on that.
But I'm sticking through it. I definitely believe, like, this is my purpose. And it's helping me to help others. So I think that's allowing me to contribute to the success.
I mean, that goes into the discipline versus motivation thing. Like, some days you just don't feel like it. But if you know why you're doing it, then you're like, okay, well, at least. My brother explained it in a really really like good way. It's kind of silly, but he is like, what did he say? Sometimes you're like, he's like, you're holding on to a rope. Like, you feel like you're getting pulled by the rope. That's your purpose. That's your direction. And you could be getting smacked in the face. Stuff could be thrown at you. Like, you could just not want to keep going forward. But, like, that purpose, if you hold on to it, nothing's going to knock you off. I don't know. I'm messing up. What he was trying to say is, like, if you know the direction you're going, like, you could have as many distractions and, like, stuff thrown at you. You can be as turned around as possible. But if you just keep going in that direction, then you'll be fine.
Yes. I always think about it of like your purpose or your why is the foundation. So it's like as long as you have like that solid layer, yeah, things are coming at you, but you know why you're doing this and you have the passion for it. So it's like, yeah, everything doesn't work out, you know, overnight or, you know, instantly, but gradually, like as long as you're not giving up, like, you're going to be great. And that's what I try to like remind myself all the time. But yeah.
What kind of habits have you had to remove or take away from your life?
I had to learn how to say no. And so that is something that I'm still working on, but it's gotten better because I take a breather. So I'll count to like five. If someone asks me a question or they want me to do something, like I would instantly be like, yes, like I can do it, knowing like I'm tired. But now it's like, can I really do that? Do I have the capacity for that? And that allows me to say, I really don't. And, you know, I'm sorry, but no. And not have an explanation behind it. I always like to like assure people like I'm not trying to be mean or, you know, but it's like, no, I can't. So I think that has helped a lot. And then another thing I would say a habit I had to get rid of, feeding my mind with things that aren't valuable. The TV, for one. I would binge watch shows, like, in a day. I'm sometimes a night owl as well. So, like, I'd be up, like, 2 o'clock in the morning just to make sure that I finish this one show. And it's like, that's not doing anything for me. And now I've replaced TV with podcasts that are feeding me valuable information. Yeah. And it really helps. So those are two habits, the TV and learning how to say no has helped me a lot just with my life.
So one question I have for the learning how to say no is when you're setting that boundary with people, how do you do that in a respectful way where it's someone that's like not used to that? And I'll give you an example. So that's something I've been learning on recently. And recently, like, my mom was asking me to do something. Like, she was asking me to help her out with something or do some chores. I can't remember what it was. But it was in the middle of me doing work. So I had to be like, I can do this later, but not right now, sort of thing. And my mom wasn't used to that. So she was kind of, like, you know, upset. Like, why are you doing this? Like, come on, I asked you to do something kind of thing. And I was just, like, I was fighting with the idea, like, how do you set respectful boundaries while still, you know, doing it respectfully? Like, how have you learned that through time? Because I'm sure the same, like, not the same situation, but, like, you've faced where people who weren't used to you telling them no, you know?
Yes. I actually read a book recently. It's called Set Boundaries, Find Peace. I can't remember the name of the author, but I can find it for you. And it really talks about, yes, I will. And it really talked about how to set boundaries with different relationships in your life. For me, I am a person, like I said, I didn't know how to say no, and people definitely took advantage of that. They still kind of do. But my mom, for example, she is almost like your mom. I'll just kind of use that as an example. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, mom, I do have, you know, a lot of things that's on my plate right now. I can try to get to it when I can. I don't want to make any promises. So please don't, you know, lean on my yes to get it done immediately. You know, I have priorities and I'm going to add it to the list. And I hope you respect that wish. Sometimes she doesn't.
Moms hate being told. I'll get it added to the list.
Yes. And she was just like, well, I really need you to do this right now. And I'm like, well, I have things as well. Yeah. This is something you brought to me. So I will try to get to it as quickly as possible. So I try to state, you know, what I can and what I can't do. And sometimes, you know, they don't take it well. I'm in any situation. Most times they don't take it well because they're not used to it. And they'll try to test the boundaries. And now I've learned to not respond so quickly to things and put myself first. I think that's helped me to say no to a lot of things because I'm always thinking about how I can please that other person and make sure that their plate load is good. Meanwhile, I'm over here like stressed out about to pull out my hair because I'm trying to tend to their needs first. And so when they don't agree to that, I'll reiterate my boundaries again. If that doesn't work, okay, well, maybe I need to take a step back from you or whatever it is that you're requesting. Maybe I just can't do it all together because you're not okay with my time frame on things. Mm. And if they're mad, they're mad. Yeah. I don't care, but I'm okay, you know? So I think that's really helped me to create those boundaries. Sometimes you may lose people along the way, or like people may be mad at you for a short time, but the people that are meant to be there and like understand it, they'll understand.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it.
One thing I realized is sometimes it might not seem this way because you're so close to the person, but at the same time, like, you're not responsible for someone else's happiness. Like, at the end of the day, some people might say that sounds cool, but like, you're not, like, it's not my responsibility. Everyone's responsible for their own happiness. Like, I'm responsible for mine, you're responsible for yours. And yeah, I think that's a really important reminder that, you know, I wish I would remind myself pretty frequently.
But it's a process. Like, I've had it where like people have tested my boundaries more than once because they already know, like, yeah, she's going to do this, or like, she doesn't care. Like, she's not going to stop me from doing this. But it's like, just reminding yourself, because you feel so like empty pouring your cup into other people. Yeah. And it's like, I don't have anything left for me. And I hit a point last year where I was just like, no, like, I can't do anything for anyone at this point. Like, I am like, I'm not going to make it, you guys. So it's really about remembering, like, putting yourself first, like, yeah. What can I do?
Put yourself
what
first.
What can I handle big. First?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. So in these, okay. Yeah. So in these times when you are, you know, your cup is empty and you got to put yourself first, what are some of the things that you do to recharge?
Yeah. So for me, I am spiritual. So that's spending time with God, praying, talking to him. And that really centers my focus and what I want to do and accomplish. That's a big one.
Real quick,
but also
I'm curious, like, how would you define your spirituality? Like, do you follow a particular religion, or is it like you believe in God and you pray, but you don't like follow any book? Like, how is your spirituality defined?
Yeah, so I am a Christian. So I've been raised in the church. Grandparents are pastors, deacons, so that whole nine. Yeah. So I've spent my whole life
going
to church. Yes, but I think for me, finding it, like, I had it, but I don't think I was aware of my personal relationship with God.
Yeah.
So now that I am older, you know, it's not mom and dad dragging me to church. You know, I go on my free will because I want to build that relationship, but it doesn't just, you know, start and stop at just going to church.
Yeah.
So, I think really being able to just sit back and like learn God for myself has allowed me to really become spiritual. Now, like, I'm serving on ministries at my church because I want to, it's not forced. So I definitely like that. Like, I feel comfortable, in that space. You know, I used to like attend Bible study and it's like, okay, I'm reading these words, but I don't really know what it means because, you know, there are different versions of the Bible and they had like this particular version, it's like thou and shall and all of these other words. And I'm just like, I need modern terms, yeah. like speak to me. So it's just kind of like finding, you know, where you're comfortable. I don't think there's a right way, you know, to be spiritual. I think it's really like the relationship that you have with whomever you believe in, I should say.
That's really interesting. How did you, and we'll get back to how you recharge, I haven't forgotten, but how did you end up finding your own spirituality and relationship to God? And the reason I ask is because I was raised Catholic, but then when it came time for confirmation, so I was like in my teens, my mom kind of gave me and my two brothers a choice. She was like, do you guys want to continue doing this? Like, it's up to you. Like, that's the point of confirmation. You get a choice. And the three of us were like, no, we're good. Thank you. And but she gave us that choice. She wanted to raise us with religion to have a foundation and like a sense of belief, but then let us choose. And as life has gone on, I wouldn't consider myself Catholic, like to where I follow a specific religion, but I definitely have taken bits and pieces of like different religions and different philosophies, the stuff that I feel like makes sense and resonates with me. And that's kind of shaped my own version of spirituality, like my own way of doing it. And I had to find that for myself. So I'm asking, like, how did you find your relationship with spirituality and God?
Yeah. So I think for me, like, I grew up hearing, you know, like, God is a miracle worker. He does the, you know, unthinkable. But I had not experienced life things like that. I mean, I have, but it wasn't, you know, directly to where I had to figure things out and handle things. Yeah. And I think for me, like, I just hit certain points in my life where, like, I'm like, I don't know how I made it. I don't know, like, what in the world? Like, this isn't just me by myself. So I think getting that, I guess that support, or like that, you know, you have that backup partner for things that you know you wouldn't have been able to handle or get yourself out of. I think those real life situations is just really what had me like, okay, like, God, like, you are real. Things are happening and it's not because of me. So let me like hone in on that and really like just be present in the moment. But then I think another thing, my family, although we are Christian, like, I'm pretty diverse. I went to a private Christian school for a while, but then, you know, I transitioned to public school, and moving from like states to states, I lived in Michigan, North Carolina. So just kind of being, you know, I guess, roused in like different cultures and meeting new people. It's kind of like we all have, you know, that same like foundation, but we just go about it in different ways. Yeah,
exactly.
And it's okay. So like, I think that was another thing that allowed me to be like, okay, I can choose my own route and how I want to be spiritual and, you know, grow closer to God. So I think those are the two.
That makes sense. I've always said it's kind of like same message, different books.
Yes.
But the core tenets is the same, you know, be a good person.
Right.
Take care of your family kind of thing.
yes.
Okay, so back to how you like to get recharged. So your spirituality is one of them. What's another way you get the energy back?
Yes. My self-care days. That's a huge one. It's a huge one. For me, I like to have a self-care day where I'm getting like pampered, my nails, my hair. Just being able to go sit down and eat at a restaurant. I like solo dates. And so like, it's stepping away from everything that's pretty much like stressing me out or, you know, leaving me frustrated at times, and doing something that's fun. So I would say my self-care days are definitely a way for me to recharge. Like, I spend the whole day, do not disturb, don't call me, leave me alone. Like, I can't do anything for you right now. And it makes me feel good. I come home and it's like, wow, tomorrow I can get back to it and, you know, jump into things. Yeah. So I think self-care.
And you know, like, you probably have much better ideas and work ethic flow. Everything's just easier those days after.
Yes.
So what, so some of the stuff you like to do for fun is you like bowling. Are you bowling 300? Like, what, Is this a big hobby, or are you really getting after it?
It's not a big hobby yet, but anything as far as like you want to go do something with friends or anything like that, I'm like, let's go bowling. I feel like it's because this is the thing, like I'm not the best bowler. You got to give me like a couple rounds. After like the second round, third round, it's like, all right, I'm in it. Let's go. And I'm very competitive. So like, I feel like one day I told my family I want for Christmas, actually, like I want my own bowling ball. I want the bag and everything.
That's
because
legit.
I want
That's
to
so
start
sick.
Going like weekly.
You got the and shoes just, and everything?
Yes. And I really want like the, I don't even know what you call it, but like the shirts that they used to have like back in the day.
Bowling shirts. Those are kind of fresh.
Yes. I want all of it. So. Yes, I love
name
to bowl,
embroidered
so.
on the side or something.
Yeah. Yes, that's a big one. Like, I'm ready. So I hope when they watch this, family, Christmas is around the corner. There. Yes.
Perfect. What about your dog? You have a dog? What kind of dog do you have?
I have a teacup Yorkie. He's somewhere around here. But his name is Dallas. I've wanted a Yorkie for like 14 years.
Oh my God,
and
I just looked up this thing. That
is so cute, right?
How much does he weigh, or she?
He's 3 pounds.
3 pounds? I thought my dog was small. I have a Maltipoo and he's like 10 pounds or like 11 pounds. He, as a puppy, he was definitely like a teacup pup. He was like the size of my palm. It was so adorable. But no, he's grown up. He's a little chunky now. He's not chunky, but my mom says he's chunky. But this thing, 3 pounds, is, oh my God. And that's like fully grown.
What is he gonna call him? Dallas? Yep, he's coming. Come here, Munchkin. You gotta hurry up.
Jeez, that thing is a stuffed animal.
This is Dallas.
No
way.
That's so cool.
Yes, so this is my baby. He's 2 years old, and like we go on walks. He has a stroller. He's very spoiled, and like I dedicate my whole life to him. Yes,
can't believe it. My very first job was I worked at the pet department of Home Goods, and I used to sell like those dog strollers, and I was always so shocked at how crazy fast they would sell out. Like, everyone wanted him.
Yes, he has like a little hammock. Like, I got it from, I don't think it was home. Well, yeah, it was Home Goods, the little hammock. So, Excellent. Like, if I'm watching TV on the couch, like, he's next to me, just like chilling on him.
That's
it's
good.
So cute.
That's good. They still got it. You like going on road trips. So, where are some of the places you road trip to?
So, I road trip to, of course, various parts of Georgia, since I'm in Atlanta, but I took a road trip to New Orleans, took a road trip to Texas. That was a long drive. took a road trip to Texas, South Carolina.
What
That's where my family's originally from. Houston.
Nice.
Yes. I have a few family members out there. So it's like every chance I get, I'm like,
Houston's
yeah,
a sick
Houston?
City. I love it.
Yes. What other places? North Carolina. I think the furthest road trip that I've taken, Boston. I think that was the furthest that I've taken.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I'm a Boston Celtics fan.
No
and
way.
So it was my dream to like go to a game like and actually see them because they come to Atlanta. Well, they're actually playing Atlanta right now. But I was like, no, like I want to go to Boston, be with the actual real Boston fans. So I just took a trip.
So I was born in Houston. I go every year. I have a lot of family. And then I lived in Boston when I had that Home Goods job for 2 years. So another place I really like. My longest road trip, actually, now that I think about it, was moving back from Boston to San Diego. My brother and I just drove. And it was one of the most fun trips I've had because it was just him and I like goofing off, having a good time. We stopped by different friends, like we hung out there. Yeah, it was fun. I like road trips.
Yes, road trips are the best. And then I've kind of taken like a step away from road trips, and now I am like the domestic flight friend. So like I can find a really good flight, find a hotel really quickly, yeah, find some activities. So I've been taking like day trips or like weekend trips recently. So I think that's a new thing for me too. Just traveling in general. I don't have a passport, so I try to do everything. And stick with it.
All right, now it's time for the closing questions. These are just some quick questions to get to know you before wrapping up the show. First one, what kind of music do you listen to?
Everything. Country, R&B, pop, jazz, and I like spoken word.
Spoken word. Yeah. So like kind of poetry over music?
Yes.
Nice. That's cool. I haven't heard that. Are there any artists in particular for spoken word you would recommend?
Spoken word, my favorite is Raina Biddy. She's kind of more like the girl power spoken word, but she's great. And there is another one. His name is, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, so sorry, sir. But I think it's like Wondrell or something like that. But those are like my top two for spoken word.
And you touched upon this a little earlier, but what kind of movies, TV shows, or podcasts do you have? Would you recommend back in your binge watching days?
I would say Scandal. That's always a great show to binge watch. Another one I would say is Law and Order, but that seems so common. Everybody watches Law and Order. Another one, as far as like movies, I love action movies and romance movies. So I will do like any of the like Fast and Furious, Equalizer. I love like the White House movies, like Olympus Has Fallen, all of the, I love those movies.
That's a specific genre. What kind of books are you reading right now?
So right now, I am reading a book all about love by Bell Hooks. But I am trying to get into more like self-development books. I'm very like, I love romance novels and romance movies. So I'm trying to go away from that, and actually feed my mind with some good stuff. That's going to help me.
Last question, where can people find you, your podcast, your company, all of it?
Yes. So you can find me. I have a website, girlsonanotherlevel.com. And stay tuned because this is my 4-year anniversary this year. And so we're coming out with some great events now.
Nice.
But social media, I am on Instagram at girlsonanotherlevel_. Facebook, Twitter, Girls on Another Level. My podcast, you can stream it on all streaming platforms except YouTube. But like Apple Music, Spotify, Pandora, Google Play, all those things. So,
awesome. Well, Tiara, thanks for coming on and thanks for having a great conversation.
Thank you.